Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we were introduced at the end of Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis to a machloikis between Rav and Reb Yochanan regarding quantities that are necessary in order for something to be deemed either a yad or a shomer. Now, these are concepts that we have been discussing till now, so in order for one who is a first-time listener to familiarize himself with this, we recommend listening to the shiurim of the last couple of dapim. In any event, Rav had said that a yad cannot exist for less than a kezias of food matter, and a shomer doesn't exist if you're dealing with less than a pool, a bean size of food matter. Rav Yochanan, on the other hand, says, he expands the possibilities and says that a yad could exist for something that's less than a kezias, provided it is a minimum of a pool in size, and there is a shomer for something that's even less than a pool. We were introduced to diamonds on Daf Kuf Yud Chesum Beis, the first of two diamonds. These represent shilas or kushas, challenges, as far as the Gemara itself is concerned, challenges to Rav's approach. Namely, where we see that there is either a yad or a shomer for shiurim, for quantities less than that which Rav said. We are approaching now the second diamond, six lines from the top of Kuf Yud Tes Omid Aleph, with which our shiur begins today as far as the Gemara is concerned, and continuing to note Rav and Rabbi Yochanan using a double underline as you see in the Gemara. So we continue, Toshma, we have a Tanaic source, as you can see this is in a frame as are all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. The source says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kulis sheyesh oleho kezayis basar. A kulis is a thigh bone that has on it a kezayis, an olive quantity of flesh. Gereris kula letuma. It causes it that the entire bone is considered tome. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Gorer es kula letuma. Also, Zayas Gora is kol hakulis lutuma. Shim hoya im kebetza ochlin v'noga hasheretz ba b'chol mokom sheba tome. Let us say we have this kulis that has a kezayas of basar, and together with the bone, you have a kebetza of ochlin. A kebetza is an egg size of ochlin. And a sheretz touches any part of the bone, so the sheretz, which is a source of tumah, it's a dead creature, one of eight different creatures that the Torah deems that create tumah or are responsible for tumah. So if the kulis happens to have on it a kezias amount of flesh, and together with that, the bone and the kezias worth of flesh, you've got an egg quantity. So if the sheretz touches the bone at any point on the bone, the tumor will be conducted to the meat. Achirim omrim afilu eino elo kepul goreres kula latuma. Now this is really the significant part of the brisa for our purposes. At least on the initial look at things, if according to the Achirim, even if there is only a kapul, a bean quantity. The kulis will function as a conduit for tumah. Now, the Gemara focuses on Rav. V'Rav hai b'may mokim lo. In looking at this source, how does Rav set it up? Are we dealing with a yad, or are we dealing with a shomer? Bearing in mind, of course, Rav had stated his opinion on Kuf Yud Chesum and Beis regarding minimum amounts of food in order for yad or shomer to exist. So, e b'yad, kash yosefa. If you say that we're dealing with a yad, namely what we called a handle, which really is a conduit of tumah, to the food that's on it, where the positioning of the food is irrelevant, as opposed to the case of the shomer, if we're dealing with a yad, kash yosefa, the seifa will pose, the seifa namely shitas achirim, will pose a problem for Rav. Because in the seifa we see the conduction of tumah for something less than a kezias. Rav said that there's no yad less than a kezias, and here we see there is. E b'shomer, if you're going to tell us we're talking about a shomer, then kashya reisha, the reisha will pose a problem. Because as far as Rav is concerned, a shomer exists for less than a kezias in quantity, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is an insistence on a kezias quantity. So the ratio doesn't jive with Rav either if we're talking about a shomer. The Gemara answers, Ibois Emo Biyad, the Hu Domar Rabbi Yehuda. One approach is that we are talking about a yad, and if that be the case, then Rav, who said that for a yad there's got to be there's no yad for less than a kezias, so he, namely Rav, will go like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda indicated a kezias, and if we'll as we're suggesting in this answer, we are talking about a yad. Well, that's what Rav said, that there is no yad less than a kezias. So Rav conforms with Rabbi Yehuda. V'boy seimo b'shomer. And if you like, we could set this whole source up as dealing with a shomer. And if that be the case, then Rav will conform to the achirim in so far as according to Rav, there is a shomer if you have a kapul size. And the achirim said, even if there is only a pool, so then it works as a conductor of tumah, as according to answer number two, as a shomer. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, kula b'shomer. Rabbi Yochanan looks at this source and says the source is talking about a shomer, v'hu di Omar k'achirim. And Rabbi Yochanan, who said that there is a shomer for less than a kapul, he will go like the achirim. He won't go like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda spoke about having a kezias. The Gemara asks, well, how can you set Rabbi Yochanan up like the achirim? Achirim ha kipul ko'amri. But the achirim say a bean size, and Rabbi Yochanan himself said that even less than a bean size, you can, in fact, have a shomer. The Gemara answers, Aidi de ko'omar tanakama shiura. Since the Tanakama mentioned an absolute quantity, a kezias, so komar inhu nami shiura. The achirim also said an absolute, but it's lav dafka. It's not an absolute. It's even less than a pool. Omar Rabba, daiko nami de b'shomer askinon. Rabba says that by carefully looking at this source, you can see that it's interested in describing a shomer, de kotoni kulis. It used as its example a kulis. A kulis is a bone, as we said, it's one of the leg bones, the thigh bone. It's a bone in which there is always marrow. And as such, it's encasing marrow, as we've said in previous shiurim, has a food status. So as such, the kulis is encasing the food, functioning as a shomer, not just a mere handle leading to a piece of food at one end, but rather, as we said, it encases the food and serves as a shomer, a guard on the food contained within. Shema Amino. So this, as far as Rabba is concerned, is a sure illustration of the fact that this source is in fact describing a shomer. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading that appears in the outside margin. One of the features of Gemara markings is the topic heading that we provide in our Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of the Gemara marking system. And the Shas Ozer is the Shas that you see on your screen. You can see in the outside margin the Nosei, which means topic heading. And we've written, Machloikis Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Yochanan Be'inyan Shi'ur Kipul the Amri Achiv. We're going to see a machlokas between Rabbi Chanino and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the kipul size that the Achirim mentioned in the above Tanaic source. Is that dafka or lav dafka? Is it specifically or literally a kipul in size? Or is it not necessarily a pool, but it could be even less than a kipul? We touched on this just a bit in the lines just before this section of Gemara when we featured Rabbi Yochanan Shitan. In fact, once again, Rabbi Yochanan appears now in this machlokes. Itmar, Rabbi Chanino, Omar Zehu Shior, meaning a kapul and not less than that. And that's the shior of kapul that the Achirim said, which is a bean size and quantity. The Achirim means specifically that and not less. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ein Zeh Shior. This isn't an actual quantity, namely, that which the Achirim said Kipul, a bean size, isn't an actual Shior. So the Gemara asks, Ein Zeh Shior, it's not a quantity, Valkotoni Kipul. But they said that it has to be a bean size. How can you say it's has flexibility to it when they say something that seems very clear that it's, they said, afilu ein ola elo kapul, even if it has only a kapul on it. How can Rabbi Yochanan come and say, well, it's not actually that? So the Gemara answers, Aidiv Gemara Tanakamo Shi'ura, since the Tanakamo said a quantity and they meant it literally, so Ko'amri Inhu Nami Shi'ur, they also were forced into saying a quantity, but in the case of the Cherim, they were saying it only as a result of the first opinion having stated a quantity. So they too stated it, but it's Lav Dafka. It's not exactly that, it could be even less. You'll notice that this style of answer is something that we used just a few lines above that we indicated with little arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. You'll notice a volcano shape, and this is indicated under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. These volcanoes appear around the expression Toshma here and a few lines later. They're Kushyos al Rabbi Chanina, the Omar, the Kapul, the Amri Achirim, Hu Dafka, Velo Pochais. These will be challenges to Rabbi Chanina's approach to the Kapul size, namely, that only if there is a pool will there be we'll call it the Shomer function, and not less. So we have sources, and as we go on in the Gemara, these sources are brought in the spirit of their supposedly referring to a shomer, but that is not necessarily the entire story. So we continue. Toshma, Rabbi Elozar ben Azariah, mitahir b'shel pul, u'mitame b'shel kitnis. In order to get a fuller appreciation of this source, let us learn the Rashi found at the lower part of the page, second of the widest lines, Rabbi Elozar ben Azariah mitahir. B'shomer shelpul, delav shomer hu. The shomer of a bean is not considered halachically a shomer. Kagon oisan hasharbitim shapulin gedelin bohen. This is a reference to the pods in which beans grow and develop. the bean grows in a sharbit, but he, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, tells us that that sharbit will not have a din of a shomer, even though physically it would appear to be a form or a type of peel or encasing around the bean, and objectively speaking, as an encasing, you would expect it to be classified as a shomer, as we said, a type of peel or guard on the food item. Here, we don't need it. We don't need it, not agriculturally or botanically, but we don't need it as far as our halachic categories are concerned. Mipnei shapulin gasin. The pool, a bean, is a large, relatively speaking, as opposed to, let's say, a barley grain. A bean is large. V'ein tzrichin l'shomer. The owner doesn't need the shomer. The pod is something that once you crack it open, you throw it away, and you're not interested in it continuing around. D'noyach l'mash mishon u'l'nakron. It's convenient to handle the beans as they are and to clean them from debris. Lefikach ein shomer ze machnis umotzi umitztarev kishar shomer. However, Rashi goes on. We should just point out, therefore, it doesn't work as a shomer, which would have been a conduit of tuma and also something that would add up with the existing food to create an egg quantity for the purpose of tuma. For Tumas Ochlin. Umetame b'shel kitnis, Rashi goes on to say, the shomer hu. As far as the case of kitnis are as a type of growth that's smaller than beans in size, and in the case of the pod of kitnis, that's the shomer hu. The dakim hain, they're fine, they're small. The ein yucholim lenakron, and it's very hard to handle the kitnis themselves without the assistance or the aid of their being in their pods. The nicholei shubois and shabitin bayasar ben solas, and it's convenient for the owner for the kitnis to remain in the pods until you want to actually cook them up. So it's convenient for them to remain in their pods so as to keep them away from debris. And Rashi goes on and points out at the end of the next Dibur HaMaschil that we see from this that there is a shomer for something less than a pool. The kitnis is something that's less than a pool in size. So that if you had even a singular kitnis left in the pod, we are saying over here that it functions as a shomer. So that we see, unlike Shitas Rabbi Hanina, that there is shomer for less than a pool. That's the question. So the Gemara answers, Ki de Omar Rav Acha Bre de Rovo, as Rav Acha says elsewhere, Bekulcha umishum yad. We're not dealing here in the case of the kitnis. We're not dealing with the pod, but rather we're dealing with the stalk. And the stalk functions as a handle. The stalk does not encase the kitnis. The on a stalk you have numerous kitnis pods that grow. So therefore, we're not dealing with a shomer, but we're rather dealing with the stalk. And as we said, there are many sharbitim, many pods attached to this thing that we call kulcha. So Rav Acha uses kulcha as an explanation in a different context, so just like he uses that explanation elsewhere. So hachanami, so too in our source, dealing with the kitnis, bekulcha umishum yad. So, and the term, the issue of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying that there is tuma, that's where, because we're dealing with tuma touching the stalk, onto which there are attached many pods. Hence, we're not dealing with some type of minimum amount. We're dealing with something that's much more than a pool in size. It's more than a, as Rabbi Hanino said, that you have to have a minimum of a pool. So don't worry about that over here, because we have much more than that. In fact, Rashi says we have more than a kezias. And well, as such, we have another little point that we need to explain. The word at the end of the source, Gemara goes on to say, Umay b'mashmishon, what is meant by that word, which we translated before as the handling of, and there we meant the handling of the actual vegetation itself, the bean or the kitnis. It really means b'tashmishon. B'tashmishon means moving it about. In other words, if I have a lot of pods, and they are attached to the stalk, so it's convenient for me to have them attached to the stalk for my purposes of moving them from place to place, moving the pods from place to place. Toshma. Well, we try again to focus in on that which was taught, especially Rabbi Hanina, who said that the shiur of the achirim was specifically a pool and not less. In other words, if you're dealing with something less than a pool in size, so you won't have the encasing functioning as a shomer. So the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, we have a Tanaic source taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. It is talking about shomer, even though the word doesn't appear here explicitly, but the pasuk that's quoted, in fact, is the pasuk that was originally quoted back on the Kuf Yud Zayin as the Torah source for shomer. It says, "Al kol zera zerua," and we learn from this, "Kederech shebnei adam motziim lizria," as people take things out to be planted, so that you can have a situation where something is, you have an actual seed that's edible, so it's the food item, and then you have the encasing around the seed, or the encasing around the meat of the seed, that would be the shomer. So what is considered a shomer? It's that which surrounds the meat of the grain, whatever grain or bean that you want to plant. If you plant it with its encasing, that will have the din of shomer. And this includes chita b'klipasa, usora b'klipasa, v'adoshim b'klipasa. We have a description here of a wheat grain, a barley grain, and adoshim, each one in their respective klipas, their shells. So we see from here, since this source is describing a shomer, and we know that a wheat grain, a barley grain, is something less than a bean in size, and it functions as a shomer, therefore we have a challenge to Rabbi Hanina, who had said that you can't have something classified as a shomer if it's less than a pool. Here we see that there is. So Gemara answers Beria Shiny. Beria is a complete entity, a complete wheat grain, if for instance. Rav, when he said that there's, we saw above Rabbi Hanina, when he said that this is the shiur, Rashi makes reference to Rav, which we haven't mentioned in our discussion, in this immediate last discussion, but we did see Rav appearing before on this Omid. So Rashi's focusing this point against on Rav, so to speak, but as we said, it is very likely referring to Rabbi Hanina also, that they will concede that where you have a beria, a complete entity, that something can be classified as a shomer even if it's less than a pool in size. Rashi at the bottom points out, second line from the bottom, Beria shiny, v'chi k'omar Rav she'ein shomer l'pachos mikapul. When did Rav say that there is no shomer for less than a pool? And as we said, Rabbi Hanina also seemed to suggest that. Kigoin chatzi pool, if you had, let's say, half a bean, she'ein briyoso shlema, it doesn't appear as it did when it was created or when it came into being. Oh, bosar shiur chatzi pool, or olav. Or if you had a piece of meat, which was a half bean in quantity and had surrounding skin, shemashlimo likabetzo, the half pool of meat with its surrounding skin would have, let's say, completed the kabetzo quantity. So Rav will tell you that since it's only a half bean in size, it will not function, the skin there won't function as a shomer. Uleil nami gabi sharbitin, motzi litrutzi beria shiny, and regarding the case before, when we were dealing with the pods, this answer could have been given also, but it didn't. The Gemara gave the Kulcha answer. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading under the Nosei that you see in the outside margin. She'elas Rav Hoshaya, Shnei Shomrim Mitztarfin Oilo. Here we're not going to give details to the question, but we'll simply translate. If you have two Shomrim, do they join up or not? Now, what is meant by two Shomrim? This will be left to the Gemara. So, now reading the Gemara. Boy Rav Hoshaya. We now turn to Amud Beis. Shnei Shomrim Ma'u Shi'itztarfu. And by the way, this is the beginning of a long question. You can see we have a shin circled at the top line, right to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line. The length of the question is indicated by all of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line. We are asking, or Rabbi Hanina is asking, two Shomrim, or we should correct ourselves, that's Rabbi Shaya is asking, two Shomrim, do they join up? Do they join up to the Ochel inside of them to complete the minimum Kibetza requirement? As we've learned in the past, if you want to classify something as a Shomer, there would have to be a total quantity of kibetza, an egg quantity of material, meaning food plus the surrounding peel or shell or what have you, what is called the shomer. Now the question is, what about a shnei shomrim situation? So the Gemara asks, hey chidomi. Well, before we can answer the question, what are the circumstances? E lemo bezeh al gavzeh. If we're talking about a double peel, a double layer of peel, umiiko shomer al gav shomer, but is there such a thing, not in terms of actuality, but legally or halachically, we don't accept a second level of peel as being considered the legal shomer. Might be a peel, but it's not classified legally as a shomer. And here we have a source that shows you that we don't hold from Shomer Agav Shomer. The source describes what is most likely an onion. Reb Yehuda Omer, Shalosh Klipos Bebotzel. There are three shells to an onion. Three peels or shells. Panimis, the innermost one. Bein Shlemo Bein Kedura Mitztarefes. Whether it's complete or it has a hole in it, it's mitzaref, it joins up with the rest of the onion itself to complete the shiur of a kibetza. And very simply because that innermost shell isn't considered a shell, it's considered food. People eat it. And it's considered absolute food and therefore not the shomer. Emtsoyis, the middle peel, the second layer of peel, out of three layers. Shlemo mitztarefes, kedura e mitztarefes. If it's complete, so it will function as a shomer and join up with the onion to complete the quantity. However, kedura, if it has a hole in it, so it won't function as a shomer, and therefore it won't mitztaref. Chitzona, the outermost peel of the onion, beinkach ubeinkach tahora. And whether it's complete or with a hole in it, it's not mekabel tuma. It's not considered a shomer whatsoever. And this is the main point from here you see, because it would be at best a shomer al gabi shomer, and that's not considered, legally speaking, a shomer. So at this point then, if the question was Shomer Agav Shomer, so why would Rav Hoshaya ask about it when you have a Tanaic source that clearly indicates there is no Shomer Agav Shomer? So the Gemara answers Rav Hoshaya Shomer Ochel Shechoko Komi Bayalei. When Rav Hoshaya asks about Shnei Shomrim, he's not talking about a double layer of peel, but rather he's talking about a food item that was encased in its peel or in its shell, but the shell was cut in half while surrounding the food. Kagon, Dehai, Lo, or we should read that again. The Gemara now presents the two sides of the question. Kavon, Dehai, Lo, Meginahai, Dehai, Lo, Meginahai, because the one half that covers, let's say, the left-hand side of the food item doesn't serve to protect at all the right-hand side of the food item, because there is an incision or a cut that separates it, so it has it's no longer connected to the other side, so lo mitzarefes, so it can't join up, it's considered a separate entity. Or do we say that since each half protects the half of the food item that it is currently covering, so the two halves do figure as part of this unit and do join up to complete the minimum requirement of kibetza? So the question has been raised concerning the Shnei Shomrim, but which we now know what we are talking about. As the Gemara continues, you can see we have triangles. They surround the expression Toshma, and under our Mivneh explanation in the outside margin, we feature the triangle with the Toshma, and we note Hochochos Tishnei Shomrim Mitzdarf, and these will be proofs or attempts to prove that there will be Tziruf, there will be this joining up to complete the quantity. Toshma, Reb Elazar ben Azariah Metayer B'Shalpul Umetame b'shel kitnis mipnei shiroitze b'mashmishan. We should point out that this source and the next source might be familiar because these were cited on Omid Aleph in a previous discussion. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah addresses the issue of what we think at least are the pods of beans and the pods of kitnis. The point of this is, even if we don't have an illustration of what these growths look like, we are supposed to conclude from the case of the fact that Rabbi Zurma Isaiah says that there is a shomer status, because he's mitame, declares tome, the kitnis pod, that is a function of multiple shomrim joining up. And that is a function of realizing how the kitnis grows. The Rashi explains, Umetame b'shel kitnis, kosalka daite, the thought right now is, Shishnayim u'shlosha sharbitin mitzdarfen l'kebeitza, im oichlen shebohen. Right? That's the thought, is that we're dealing with several pods joining up with the kitness that they contain to form or to create the quantity of a kibetza, the egg quantity. The vaday ein b'sharbit echad kibetza. It's clear that in one kitness pod you don't have an egg quantity, and therefore, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah speaks about tuma, so it must be that we have several of these. Almo shnei shomrim mitzdarfen im shnei oichlin l'kibetza. Afagav dahai lo megin ahai. You have two separate pods that are joining together. That's a very nice description of two separate shomrim, but they join together to create the requirement, the quantity of kibetza for tumah purposes. So this would show us the two shomrim are mitzdarif, even though one doesn't guard upon the food contained in the other. The Gemara rejects this. We're not talking about Shomrim. Omar Rav Acha Brei D'Rava B'Kulcha U'Mishum Yad. And by the way, in our previous discussion where he appeared as the precedent for the answer, here is the source of Rav Acha's answer. The case of the kitnis is talking about a stalk to which many sharbitim are attached, and the tumah spoken about here is the tumah as a result of it being a handle, a yad, and not in its function as a shomer. So we're talking about tumah touching the kulcha, the stalk, and thereby conducting the tumah to the pods, but we're not talking about tumah touching the pod in a shomer capacity. Umay b'mashmishon, and now what does the word mashmishon mean that appears at the end of the source? B'tashmishon, the person is happy having the stalk attached to the pods, because that enables him to move them from place to place more easily. Toshma, and once again we have the same source as we saw on Omer Aleph, the Tana de Rishmoel, the following source, Al Kol Zera Zerua, Kederach Shibnei Odom Moitzin Lizria. The source, as we mentioned, ostensibly talks about a shomer, and a shomer is established as that which is present when you take the item to be planted. Zuchita b'kliposa, usara b'kliposa, v'adoshim b'kliposan. And this source is talking about the item becoming tome. We see here the different grains in their respective shells. Now, the multiple shells join up, and that would be a function of Shnei Shomer Mitzdarfin. That would show us that they do join up, even though the shell surrounding one grain doesn't protect the grain contained, the neighboring grain. The Gemara answers that this source, or responds, this source is not an illustration of Shomrim or Shnei Shomrim Mitzdarfin, but rather Kida Omar Rav Acha Breidu Rava Bekulcha Umishum Yad, as Rav Acha mentioned in his answer before, when he said derailed the source that was mentioned before from talking about Shomer and reestablishing it as is talking about Yad. So to over here, Hachanami B'Shedra Umishum Shomer. We're talking about the grains in the, we can call it the cone, which is the top of the stalk of wheat. When you have a stalk, up on the top of the stalk, the grains grow together in what we can call a type of comb, and that's what's being described here, and as such, it's a singular shomer. That's the main point, and we can look in Rashi, Hach klipa nami b'shedra. Rashi across from here says, Hach klipa nami, the klipa spoken about in this source with the chita b'kliposa and sir b'kliposa is b'shedra k'omar. B'sosa v'shebolta, shachitim kvuin b'shedra behekif saviv. When you notice a wheat stalk, so at the top part of the wheat stalk where the grains appear, they're all encased, so to speak, in a comb that appears at the top of the stalk in a all positioned around. The word saviv means encircling the comb. Umishum shomer. D'chol hashibolus shlema, v'chol sasa havyochad shomer. This entire collection of grains that, as they grow together at the top of the stalk, in the comb, is considered one shell, so to speak. D'kulan srifen zelozeh. Why is it described as a singular shomer? Because each socket in which the grain is found is dependent on the neighboring one. She'im yipol echad, if one grain falls out, then kulan noiflim. If one grain with its socket falls out, then all the rest will fall. Falohavu shnei shomrim. And therefore, what we are describing is a singular shomer and not a shnei shomrim situation. So now the Gemara is going to focus on this. Is it really a case of a singular shomer? Bishlamo Elisa Srihi Latitisa. I understand that the upper levels of grains need the lower level of grains as they are growing on the stalk, the lower level supporting the upper levels. Ela Tatisa Mai Srihi Elisa. The bottom level of grains, how is it that they need the upper ones? In other words, if the upper ones were to fall out, the lower level, the lower row of grains would stay in place. And still, we're saying that there's siruv. So that when you're focusing, let's say, on the lower level, it really is a double shomer situation, and yet there's siruv. The Gemara answers, no. Bechad dora. we're talking about one row of grains, not multiple rows of grains. And that's what's considered a singular shomer, where you, when you have one row of grains on the in the comb. The Gemara asks, "Umi iko kebetza oichlin bechadora?" But will you have the minimum requirement of quantity, the egg quantity, in one row of grains? So the Gemara says, "Well, yes, bechiti de Shimon ben Shetach." If you were dealing with the grain, the wheat, in the time of Shimon ben Shetach, the Gemara in Maseches Tainis says, and Rashi quotes that Gemara, that the wheat in the time of Shimon ben Shetach was the size of two kidneys of a large ox. In other words, if you have very large wheat grains, so then if you have one row of them, you certainly will have an egg quantity. The Gemara now says, "Hashda da'osis lahachi." Now that we've come up with this answer of the grains in the time of Shimon ben Shetach, with regard to "Hashda da'osis lahachi chado chito nami," you can speak about even a singular wheat grain and "bechiti de Shimon ben Shetach." And Rashi says, "Hashda da'osis lahachi metatz." Mitaritzna loch nami dahodekomar chitin bekliposan. We can go back to the source that we were just recent. We were most recently discussing the wheat in their shells. Lav delitzrifu shnei chitim im shomrehem. We don't have to raise the issue of two grains being joined together with their shells. Elo im yesh bein. You can speak now about a singular grain and its shell. The shell with the grain that's that large will form the kibetza quantity of food with its shell, and thereby not involve ourselves at all with the discussion of double shomrim. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, Machlokis Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish, E Saira Achas, Saira is a hair, Yochol Lios Yad. Can a hair be a Yad? We will notice that we have also a Roman numeral, number one, that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Under our Mivneh heading, we relate to this. And you'll notice a Roman numeral 1 and 2 featured, and we indicate Shnei Lishonois, Alma Shonu Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. There are two versions as to what the Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish that will appear shortly in the Gemara, on what their Machlokis is focused. So the Roman numeral number 1 appears here, and at the bottom line of the Gemara, at the end of the line, it says, V'iko demasni lo amasnisen. That will be the second version, the second presentation of on what their machlokis was stated. So as we continue in the Gemara, we cite from a source that was already mentioned in the Gemara on a previous omid. Shnei gufa, shnei atzomos valeim shnei chatzoi zeisim. Two bones, and on the bones are two half quantities of flesh. We're talking about bones of a human being, and as we know that a kezias of flesh of a human being, an olive quantity of flesh is metama bo'eha, will enable tumah to spread through overshadowing. If you have them in the same room or under the same roof, under the same covering, so tumah will spread under the entire covering if you have a kezias, olive quantity of human flesh. Here we have two bones, and on each one of them is a half zayas, a half olive quantity. V'hichnis roshen hashniim labayis. And the other end of the bone was put inside a house. So you have the one end with the meat on it outside the house, and the other end inside the house. V'abayis ma'al aleim, habayis tomei. And the house is overshadowing the two bones. there is tumas meis in the house. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yankov, Hech Shnei Atzamos Mitzdarfen Lekezayas. How could it be that two bones join up to create a full Zayas quantity? Omar Reish Lakis, Lo Shanu Elo Etzem, Dehave Yad. This discussion, according to Reish Lakish, wouldn't begin unless we are talking, as it says, about bones. Bones can function as a yad, and as such, the bone would be a conduit to enable the tumah to travel through it into to the other end that's being overshadowed by the house. Avol nimo loy havyo yad. A nimo is a hair, a singular hair, won't function in that capacity, the capacity of a yad. And the reason for that is a singular hair, once you pick it up, it snaps, it breaks, it doesn't have this, we'll call it, handle identity. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, afilu nimo nami havyo yad. Even a singular hair can function as a yad, and it will cause the tumah to travel through it into the other end of the hair that's being overshadowed by the house. So that, as such, even if, let us say, something touched the other end of the hair, the other end meaning the end that the meat is not on, the tumah will be communicated through it. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. The following question raises a challenge to Reish Lakish. Or shigesh olav kezayas basar, a piece of skin that has on it an olive quantity of flesh. Hanogea b'tziv hayoytze mimenu ubesayro she kenegdo tome. We will function right now on the case of the Syra. It says here, if a person touches the hair that's growing out of this skin, to which there is attached, to the skin there's attached a kezayis of basar, kezayis of flesh, so there will be tumah. My lav, mishum yad. Are we not talking about the hair as functioning as a yad? And we see tumah conducted through the hair. Loi, mishum shomer. This is not talking about hair as a yad, but rather hair as a shomer. So that there's another level of detail that we can introduce, but our hope is it won't confuse us. If you say, like the suggestion was, that the hair functions as a yad, so as long as you have the hair that's attached to the skin, it wouldn't matter where on the skin is the bosar positioned. As long as the hair is attached to this skin and there's bosar somewhere on the skin, that would have been a yad function. To restate that, the positioning of the bosar relative to the hair would have been no relevance, just as long as it's attached. When the Gemara answers, no, we're talking about a shomer, then it will be of significance for us to know, and as it says in the source, it says, shekinegdo, that the hair is positioned directly above the basar. And when that's the case, so then we can view it as a shomer. But for our purposes, the discussion between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan was dealing with the defining a hair as a yad. The Gemara now asks, okay, now that you're derailing this from the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and you're talking about a shomer, you're talking about the hair functioning as a shomer, umiiko shomer al gabi shomer. But can you have a shomer al gabi shomer? We saw above in our discussion when we spoke about the onion that there is no shomer al gabi shomer. That's a one layer of shomer above another layer of shomer. The understanding here is that the hair is growing from the skin, and the skin is over the basar. So there's a double layer of the basar. Above the basar, you have the first layer of the skin, and above that, coming out of the skin, you've got the hair. That would be a description of shomer al gav shomer, and that would have no validity. The Gemara answers, Chilchule Mechalchil. When we speak about a hair, the hair grows from, penetrates the skin, so that the hair is not a second level above the skin, but rather it's growing from within the skin, penetrating the skin, representing a first level of shomer, and hence the hair also could be viewed as a shomer. Maskiflor of Acha Bar Yankiv, Elomeato, if you describe hairs as penetrating the skin, Tfilin Hechi Kasvinon, Hobo Inon Ksiva Toma Veleka. The Pasuk says, in the Torah, Uchsavtom, you shall write them, and that you shall write Tfilin and Mezuzos. How can, and the word Uchsavtom is Darshan Ksiva Toma, the word is kosav tom. Tom being darshaned, being explained as a complete writing. That means the letters should not be fragmented. If you're writing using parchment, using ink on parchment, as the ink goes over the hole, if you're saying that the hairs actually penetrate the skin, so then the letters that are formed as the ink goes over the holes become fragmented. So you're lacking then the ksiva toma requirement. The Gemara answers, Ishtamitze ha di amri b'marova. Ishtamitze means that it escaped Rav Acha, it escaped from him. He was seemingly unaware of that which they say in Marova in Eretz Yisrael. Kol nekev shadyoi over olav, any hole over which the ink passes, eino nekev, it's not considered a hole. It's not considered a hole of any significance. Therefore, even though the parchment may be porous as a result of the hair pores that exist in it, they nevertheless don't pose any threat because of their very small size, and as such the ink passes right over it without posing an interference in the writing, and therefore you still preserve the ksiva toma requirement. The iboyasema, another approach, is regarding this source, is Kule Mishum Yad. Not like we said before that we're talking about Shomer, but we are talking in fact about Yad. And still, we won't have a Kasha, we won't have a question, a challenge to a Shlokish. And why not? Kid Omar of Elah, as Rav Elah said elsewhere, Bimlai Shebein Hamloyim, Hochanami Benimo Shebein Hanimin. Rav Elah is talking about, is not addressing our issue, we're borrowing an illustration from Rav Elah. He speaks about a malai. Malai are the fibers that grow at the very, very top of a stalk of grain. We spoke about grain stalks before, where you have the grains themselves growing from a comb, and above that you have fibers, hairs. The Rashi talks about a zakan, a type of beard. So using a certain amount of imagination, there are multiple hairs or fibers growing from the top of a grain stalk. The fibers together, as opposed to a singular fiber or a singular hair, when you have a collection of them, they can function as a yad. So the Gemara goes on to say, like Rav Elah in describing grain tops, hochanami benimo shebein hanimin. When the source spoke about the hair attached to skin that had on it a kazayas basar, we're talking about a group of hairs. Now, a group of hairs is, if you grab them together, they're strong, they'll hold up, and therefore they can function as a yad. That's Reish Lakish's defense. Veheicha itmar de Rav Elah, where was Rav Elah's initial statement made? Aha, on the following. Malai shebe shibolim. The fibers on the top of grains, mi tamin umitamin vienon mitstarfin. Mitamin means they'll absorb tuma, and mitamin tuma will be passed through them to something else. However, they don't join up to create the minimum shiur. So we see that since we're talking about something that's not mitzaref, we know that we're not talking about a shomer, but rather we're talking about a yad. And that information was the subject of discussion in previous sugyas. So we see the Gemara goes on to ask malai lamai chazi, what is a malai useful for? The truth is that when the Gemara is asking this, we think we're talking about a singular fiber at the top of the grain. Well, the singular fiber at the top of the grain, for what benefit could it possibly have? So, Amar of Eloi, Bimlai Shebein Hamloim. We're talking about the multiple fibers that are at the top of the grain. And the multiple fibers, as we said, you can manipulate, you can maneuver, you can move around grain combs by grabbing the called confluence of hairs that appear at the top of the comb. Lishno achrino amri lo. This is a second or an alternative version of what we had done, what we had seen before. After we saw Reb Yochanan challenge Reish Lakish from the source of we saw the first wide line of our Gemara or Shishalov Kezias, etc. Here we have a Lishno achrino amri lo. Hachi nami mistabro demishum shomer. The Gemara, when it answered that we are talking about shomer, we're talking about the hair as a shomer. Here the Gemara says it is most likely that we are talking about that. If you were to think that we're talking about a yad, the hair as a yad, well, nimo achas lamai chazi, of what value could a singular hair possibly be? And after all, it's said in the source, besaira. The Gemara says, really, we are talking about hair as a yad, but we're not talking about a singular hair. Kid Omar of Ilo, Bimlai Shebein Hamloyim, Hochanami Benimo Shebein Hanimin. Just like Rabbi Law spoke about the hair fibers at the top of grains and spoke about multiple fibers, so too here we will talk about multiple hairs. And multiple hair, Nimo Shebein Hanimin, is multiple hairs. Do function as a yad, so that if tumah touches a singular hair that's positioned amongst other hairs, then it does have a yad identity. The hecho itmar Rabbi Loi, where was Rabbi Loi's original comment made? And this too we saw above. Aha disnan, regarding the following source: hamlai shebeshibolim mitamen umitamen v'ein mitstarfin. The fiber at the top of grains serve as a conduit of tumah, but don't join up. That's a description of a yad. Well, lamai chazi, a fiber at the top of a grain, what function could it possibly perform? It's very fragile, it'll break, it'll snap. Omer of Eloi, bimlai shebein hamloim. We're talking about fibers that are amongst other fibers at the top of the grain, not a situation where you have only one fiber. V'iko demasni lo amasnisin. This is the second version of the machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and it is taught regarding our Mishnah. Just to recount, Reish Lakish said that a singular hair cannot function as a yad, and Rabbi Yochanan said a singular hair can function as a yad. So we have our Mishnah, Ha'or v'roite v'akipo, and it goes on to say, V'atzamos mitstarfin l'tamei tumas oichlin. Omar Reish Lakish lo shonu elo etzem. The Mishnah is talking about things that are, the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah are specifically as mentioned, the atzamos. And it's mitstaref to the food to form the shiur of the required shiur, the required quantity, because it's talking about a bone, to have a shomer, and the bone can function as a shomer. Avol nimo lo have a shomer, but a hair cannot function as a shomer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar filu nimo nami have a shomer. Even a hair could be a shomer. Omer le Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, mi kos shomer al gavi shomer, Could it be that a hair would be a shomer? After all, a hair grows out of the skin, and the skin itself is a shomer. Then we would thereby be describing shomer al gabi shomer. The Gemara answers, chilchule mechalchel. The hair penetrates, so that it's a first level shomer. Maskif lo ravacho elomeato. Ravacho challenges, like we saw before. If you're saying that the hair penetrates the skin, elomeato tefillin hechi kasvinon. How could we write acceptable kosher tefillin? We require letters that are complete, that are not fragmented, and if at every point that there's a pore in the skin, it constitutes a hole, so then, in effect, every letter is fragmented. And you don't have ksiva toma. The Gemara says, well, ishtamitze haldi amri bar marov, it escaped ravacho, in his asking of the question, that which was taught in Eretz Yisrael, kol nekev shadyo ivro lov eino nekev, any hole over which the ink passes is not considered a threat. Esvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish. We will see here that a hair does function as a shomer, a singular hair functions. The source says, or sheishalov kizayas bosar, hanogea bitziv hayoytse mimenu. We should, before going too much further in the Gemara, we must correct a certain level of detail. And the second lashon of Gemara involving the machlokis Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, as opposed to the first lashon, where it was an issue of can a hair be a yad, here can a hair be a shomer? Reish Lakish said that a singular hair cannot be a shomer, and Rabbi Yochanan says that it could be a shomer. Here we have a source where it says, or sheishalov kizayas bosar nogea betziv hayotzi menu besayro shekenegdo tomei. Same source as we saw before. If you have a piece of skin with a kizayas bosar on it and a hair is growing from it, it conducts tuma. So my lav mishum shomer, is it not so that the hair here is functioning as a shomer? And you see a singular hair as a shomer, so that would be a challenge to to Reish Lakish, who said a singular hair cannot be a shomer. So the Gemara says loy mishum yad. We are talking about the hair functioning as a yad. Well, the Gemara asks, Nimo achas lemai chazia, what can a singular hair possibly, how could it possibly be of any use as a yad? The Gemara answers, ki the Omer of Eloi, as Rav Ilo said elsewhere, vimlai shebein hamloyim, fiber, a fiber amongst other fibers at the top of a grain, hachanami benimo shebein hanimin. So too over here, we're talking about a hair growing amongst other hairs, and that isn't so fragile. You can grab a group of hairs, and hence a hair in such a situation will function as a yad. Where was Rabbi Eloi's comment made of concerning what was his original comment made? Aha disnan. It was stated on the following source. This too we saw before. Hamlai shibashibolim mitamin u mitamin veim etstarfen. The fiber on the top of grains joins is something that conducts tuma, but doesn't join up to complete food quantities. Well, malai lemai chazio. What is a fiber on the top of the grain fit for? Amar b'law bimlai shibain hamloim. We're talking about not a singular fiber in isolation, but a fiber amongst other fibers. And as such, they have what we call group strength, and therefore can function as a yad. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.